We are joined by the gentleman from Privateer, which I've already misplaced the cards, John Meekins and Frank Leventhal. Is that correct?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. We have the latest Privateer Industries pamphlet in front of us here, and I got to tell you, I am completely surprised.
He's
at
seduced
how sleek
by it. He wants
design.
To buy one already.
I want to build a model of this thing too.
No, the real one.
I can afford the model.
Anyway, what we're talking about here is the first new. They're saying the first new amphib design in 60 years.
Yes.
All right. So why design a new amphibian?
John, we tried to find an amphibian that would fit our purpose and couldn't do it. So I spent a few years scribbling and tried to come up with one that would have a low center of gravity, so it would be safe.
That is a problem because a lot of airplanes nowadays are converted over. You don't see a lot of dedicated amphibian aircraft. One of the more common ones is the Cessna Caravan on floats. That thing sits about 12, 15 feet high, and I imagine that can be a handful.
Absolutely. The idea that they have the engines above the ground 12 or 15 feet and rest on a single hull makes it like a pendulum and creates problems when you're dockside. Also requires a lot of struts and braces to connect you to the float, so it has a lot of drag.
Yeah, it'll slow you down for sure. So according to information that I read on the website, you are scheduled for your first flight close to April of next year. How far along are you going to make that target date?
We wanted to be flying this year, but we didn't make it, and we're hoping to make it first quarter of next year. All of the major components of the aircraft have been fabricated, so it's a matter now of assembly. Frank is installing the engine in September, so we think we will make it. Yes, sir.
That sounds good.
Now, you've also chosen an unusual engine. I mean, it's an engine that makes sense for today. That's a turbine engine. I guess it's a LOM or Walter?
It's the Walter, which has now been purchased by General Electric. So it's now called the GE Walter and greatly improved. And GE's in the process right now of certification. So it will be a certified engine. But for an experimental airplane, Walters can be purchased at an incredible discount rate of about $50,000. So for our testbed airplane, it was the right engine to go with to prove our concept.
Now, the other thing is, this is actually going to be a large airplane. You're talking about six passengers plus pilot?
Yes.
So you're starting out big here. This is not the hop around the pond thing.
Yep. It's about 43 feet end-to-end and tip-to-tip.
Well, let's talk about the construction of the airplane. What is this thing built mostly out of?
It's carbon fiber.
Carbon fiber. Yes. Okay. Well, you know, one of the things that you have to worry about with an amphib is when you're landing on water, you just never know what you're going to hit. How about field repairability of this aircraft? What happens if you ding a float on this thing?
Well, it's just like fiberglass. It's fairly easy to repair. And we have many compartments in the sponson, so if we do get a breach of any kind, it's not going to take the airplane out. And it's just a matter of doing a patch just like you would with fiberglass.
Now, why sponsons instead of a flying hull? Just because of stability on the water?
Well, I'll tell you what. If you ever watch on a windy day a hull-type airplane trying to dock, the wind will push it over, and it's sitting there on the hull and one wing, and they really can't maneuver very well. So having the stability of two sponsons, it's like having an offshore powerboat or a Everglades airboat, where you can really maneuver, and the wind's not going to tip you over.
Well, just to give our audience here an idea of what this is, basically, what you two, it's like a catamaran airplane. You got the sponsons are attached to the wing about where the engines would be on, say, a beach baron. It's very sharp. The engine is pusher configuration. It has a ring around it for aerodynamic efficiency. And off of the rear of the sponsons, the rudder, and sitting very high at the top of the rudders and vertical fins would be the elevator and horizontal stabilizer. This is a very swoopy-looking airplane.
And swoopy's a technical term he likes to use.
Well, you know, one of the things that I see here is you have the sponsons and you have the engine sitting out in back. Are you guys concerned with water spray getting into the propeller?
Not really. The computer likes the model. The catamaran sponsons are the key to this aircraft. The catamaran allowed us to lower the center of gravity by placing the engine between the catamaran hulls, and that makes us the only low center of gravity amphibian.
Well, that and center of thrust. The thrust line is right through the center CG of thrust, instead of above it.
Yes, sir. And as well as the center of gravity. And the thrust goes through the elevator, if you will, and that gives us more control than the normal amphib as well.
Are you concerned at all with water ingestion into the turbine?
No. The aircraft is configured such that at low speed, the fuselage blanks out any water that might get there, and at higher speed, it doesn't have a chance of getting to it.
And well, if you think about it, you fly through heavy rain in every airplane that has a propeller anyway, so we don't think it's going to be a big issue.
The propeller, speaking of that, will that have beta range on it? Will you have a fully reversible prop?
Yes, we will.
Okay, that'll help in docking.
So you can back it into the parking space.
Yeah, we can come in, go into beta, offload everybody with the engine running, go in reverse and back out, so we can pull up onto a beach, up to a dock, and, you know, very versatile.
Why did you guys choose composite instead of going with, say, conventional aluminum construction?
Well, we wanted it to be light. We wanted it to be fast. And right now, that's the obstacle that everybody's trying to overcome, is that most float planes are very slow. So we're going to be pushing the 200-knot envelope and with a range of almost 1,000 miles.
Now, according to your paperwork here, the military has expressed an interest, as well as commercial operators. You're working on 10 and 20 place variants on this?
Well, the airlines are pushing for that. There are some big air carriers on the West Coast that have pushed us for a larger cabin so they can use it for commercial ops.
What kind of takeoff speed are you projecting?
Good question. I don't really have that answer. Our engineering people would have it. I know that with the low wing configuration and the amount of horsepower that we have, we expect to be in ground effect immediately with a takeoff run of less than 1,000 feet. So it doesn't need to be a lot. And most airplanes take 2,000, 2,500 feet to get airborne.
Well, the problem is the runway's not rippling and waving and beating you around.
Well, I'm talking about water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, water airplanes are still 2,000 to 2,500.
Yes.
I remember from an aircraft we saw when the Navy tried to do a jet amphib, the problem they had was rough water. The takeoff speeds were so high, you just couldn't find water smooth enough. So obviously you want to keep the takeoff speeds as low as possible so that doesn't become such a factor.
Right. But we think that the low wing will get us into ground effect immediately, and we'll be able to climb out of ground effect right away.
So you got any guesses? 60 knots, 50 knots?
Probably between right around 50 knots.
That'd be great.
That's going to be good. I can see that this would be a very popular airplane out in backcountry areas too, up in lake country. Also could come in very handy in Alaska. Speaking of that, with the sponsons and everything, would you be able to land this on snow by any chance?
This aircraft has built-in skis, and so we won't have to convert from skis to sponsons. We think that we can land on ice, snow, water, and probably grass with the existing configuration. And we feel that the aircraft may well change some real estate values in Alaska by being able to access smaller lakes than can currently be used.
Could be interesting.
I'm hoping that you guys have this thing flying next year.
Yes, sir. So are we.
Yes, sir.
I'm sure you are. Where can we find you on the field?
We're in C Hangar, booth 3138. Please stop by, introduce yourself, watch the video, and we'll shake your hand.
Very good. Very good.
This is a very interesting airplane, gentlemen. I have to tell you, it's a very different design, but everything you've told us, and from my point of view, seems to make sense.
Yeah.
It's going to have excellent stability, good payload, good range here from what I'm seeing. Your cruise speeds look good. You're estimating 15,000 at 15,000 feet, 215 knots, and that's ripping right along.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And with a single engine on it, you're not going to do too bad on the fuel burn either. Where is most of your fuel going to be stored? Are you going to have that in the sponsons or on the wings?
We have three tanks. One will be fuselage and the forward edge of the wings, close inboard to the fuselage.
Yeah, and the wing and the roof.
you guys, of course, are bringing it out here when you get her flying.
Absolutely. Yes,
okay,
sir.
Good. Oh, deal.
Yes. Good.
Good
sign deal. Us up for a ride.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
We're talking to Frank Loventhal and John Meekins from Privateer Industries, and I'm Fast Eddie.
I'm Digital Dave. Don't forget to check them out on the web at privateerindustries.com. This is Hot Start on EAA Radio.